looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, giving you reasons to feel good. We bring on exceptional authors who share their experiences through writing and then come on to Light on Living to bring you all the goodies that can help you with your holistic happiness. So today, as we begin to settle in for the week of our Christmas and New Year celebrations, we look forward to creating cherished memories and moments with loved ones, which can include quality time spent with friends. With many of us experiencing radical transformation and learning to love and appreciate ourselves and our relationships more, we are entering into friendships that are reflecting our new energies and the direction we are headed in the new year. So how can we learn to grow healthy friendships during this time? I'm happy to welcome Donna Cohen to share with us all about that. But I want to say welcome, Donna, before I tell everybody about you. So welcome, Donna.
Thank you. I am so happy to be with you today.
You have been such a pleasure to meet, and everything from an interesting reason of why you're writing, what you're writing, and what you're delivering. So I'm just going to share your little mini bio here with everybody so they know this, and then we can jump right in. But it's Donna Sager Cohen, actually. I said Cohen. Oh, my gosh. I said your name. Bad me. Okay, I'm sorry, everybody. And so let's get your name right. And I should have known because I love cows so much. So it's Donna Cowan. And as the youngest child in a large family, Donna felt lost in the crowd. She entertained herself by making up stories and friends to play with. By age 5, Donna had taught herself to read, and that began her imaginative journey to dreamy castles with princes and fairy godmothers. Donna herself actually is a grandmother, random fact finder, I like that one, and encourager. And yes, she believes in superheroes. And she's a superhero. I think she is too, actually, and you'll find out why. Well, she lives in California with her family and 4 cats. You know I'm in love. And sadly, no mice like Simon. And we'll find out who Simon is in a minute. But so this is Follow the Superhero School Series. That's so hard to say sometimes. The Superhero School Series at DonnaSagerCowan.com. And oh my gosh, Donna, when you told me the name of one of the characters in your amazing book with Courage of a Mouse, and his name is, everybody ready for this? Simon Cheddar. Like, come on. Who even comes? Your names are so amazing.
Well, thank you. You know, I worked really long and hard with a lot of help from my grandchildren and a little work from my magical cats. They're very good to bounce ideas off of, and they do have their own opinions about things, but we'll speak about that on another time. But I did want to bring these characters alive, and as you know, we all need that name to bring us to life.
Yes, and it's not funny how this is just random coming up, is that a lot of times people actually do either rename themselves or use nicknames that reflect who they are at the time, or they, in the spiritual world, we're given a name, you know, from whatever, the Native Indian world or something, like where names really, like you just said, they bring us to life in a way. How interesting.
Well, yeah, it is part of your individuality. You know, it begins with your name, which is unique to you. So, yeah. You know, when you're creating characters, you have to think from that perspective too. You need them to be just as unique as every other person walking on the planet.
Yes, yes. So tell me, when you started writing, so the whole series is called, but it wasn't started out as a series, but the whole series is called Superhero School Series. And how did, because I find this so interesting. Did you know you were going to be an author and write this thing all your life, or is this a surprise?
Well, and it's been a very interesting journey. I have been writing my entire life, and I really never tried to publish anything. And this particular book and series began with an actual innocent question from one of my granddaughters asking me about, you know, what does my cat do at night when she goes out and stays out all night?
Oh.
And I tell them bedtime stories. Primarily, I make them up for them. And so after I thought about that question, I made up the story about her being a superhero and that she goes out at night to save all of her friends. And so we worked on that story for a few months, and they kind of begged me to write it down so that they could remember it and that they could tell their friends. And, you know, so we started with it, and then they decided, well, you know, being a superhero, you have a secret identity, so it's not really, you know, fair of us to kind of blab all over the world, you know, about what she's doing. And so we decided that we should take everyone back to the beginning, to when she became a superhero. So now we have, you know, her in the beginning with the courage of a mouse and her first foray into superhero school, which is kind of where superhero school was born, if you will.
You know, and I love it. That is so neat that it starts off with school, because it is about lessons learned. And it's so neat because the very first thing that I grabbed me when I was reading is in the first few pages, it says when they first go to school, and it says everyone will learn how, but not everyone will apply the lessons to reach their potential. And that's so neat because we all go to school, you know, at some point in the universe, we're going to school, but I just love that. And that's the foundation. It's like, we're learning, but then to apply things. And so just like when we go through the book with the characters, they're all going to superhero school, but they're not guaranteed to be a superhero.
Exactly. You know, that is kind of a metaphor for life. You know, you can learn everything there is within your capability and your realm, but if you don't apply those things, if you don't learn something from your mistakes or your challenges or the things that you have to overcome, then you're not applying those and you're not reaching your full potential. You're not actually growing as a person in any way, shape, or form. You're kind of stagnating and just kind of gathering knowledge, very similar to a computer stick.
Right. And you know what's really interesting? Because the theme of today's show really is about friendships and how to grow the friendships. Isn't it interesting that we'll be taught maybe when we're children that, okay, so to be a best friend is you don't keep secrets, you don't lie, you're always there for each other. But we can learn that, but then it really is to practice that. And it was funny because I just sat back and I wanted to ask myself, like, what do I believe a friendship is? What does it look like? And am I a good friend? Or are the people in my life, are they good friends to me? And if they are or they're not, am I celebrating that, or am I letting it go when it's not, and vice versa? Am I really, you know, being a superhero friend? So did that come to play? Like, I just, everything that you wrote, you're an amazing writer. So I want to say that first of all.
Thank you. That is so amazing for me to hear, because it is such a big, giant trust leap for me to put this book out there with my heart and soul and, you know, hope that people love it. And just to hear one person love my book is the world to me.
It's not one person. You know what? I can't imagine anyone not loving it. This is you. Not only was I on the, like, I love animals, so it's already a perfect little book, but the way you describe it and give it, they're so animated. And I went through so many emotions, and it was really funny because I'd be reading it, and sometimes I'd read it aloud to my cats because I like to do that too. And sometimes I'd just silently, but you'd hear like me go, oh, like gasp, where I'd go, oh, you know, it was cuter. Like, so many like sounds were coming from my body. And I was going through this emotional, fun adventure roller coaster, but the lessons that you do weave through there are really huge. Mm-hmm. And without jumping, but I have to jump because I don't want to give this away. I don't know what not to give away, but during one of them, one of the lines, there was an obstacle that one of the characters comes up to, and it was because they didn't have a family, and it was really strongly suggested to the character to do this, that they needed family support. And I thought, ooh, that's a big one, because what do you believe that we do need friendship and family support to to reach our potential? Like, can we do it on our own, or do we really do need other people?
Well, absolutely, and this is where we're going to dive into, friendship. It's like, I really feel, and please don't take this as being an accusation in any way, shape, or form, but I really do feel like we are losing, our family foundations, through just generational things that are happening. There's so many things to do in places, and people are moving further and further away that we as people do not have that family foundation, and so we are more and more dependent upon our friendships and our mm-hmm. friends to kind of be our nuclear family, to build that empathy and opinion and create a foundation that we feel secure in being who we are. Because if you don't, as in the book, one of the main characters, Cat the Cat, is, this is her big issue. She does not feel secure. And it is primarily because of things that have happened to her, but also because she has no support system. She has no family. She has no friends. And so she tends to sink further and further into her own despair. And it isn't until she starts building these friendships.
Yes.
That she starts to learn to trust and to depend and to learn and become part of a family and a friendship, and she grows. But she also teaches the other friends something mm-hmm. about her position, about being alone, about being, unwanted and all of the problems that she has to go, and it gives them a unique perspective that they then take into their situation and can see things much clearer, and it grows them at the same time.
Yes, it's the diversity that you've chosen to really depict and demonstrate to us that, we've got a cat and a mouse, and we can just share that because that's I think that's really
absolutely. Yeah.
So, of course, right, then Simon Cheddar. And so, here we go, a cat and a mouse. So you've chosen these two. And I love that shows, because in our world, if somebody's listening right now, and maybe they're taking into account going, okay, I got to look at who are my friends, or maybe I would like, I actually thought just, this is so funny that this is even coming up. Maybe 2 weeks ago, I sat back and I've had a couple friendships fall away, not apart, but away from me, probably for good reasons or not. There's always a reason. But I realized as I haven't not replaced it, but I haven't filled that spot back up. And I thought, I wonder who my next friend will be, right? And it's so interesting. I thought, because why do we have friends, as you said, for support, and there's that foundation of support so that we can grow and expand. But to sit back and look and say, who, we'll never know, because if a cat and mouse can be friends, then you might be able to be friends with somebody you'd never thought, like a criminal, I don't know, something, right? Somebody. And because I know we're going to dive into what are some of those traits that we should be looking for healthy friendship.
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about the book. In the book, we have the two main characters, Cat the Cat and Simon Cheddar. And in the beginning, they really don't have a very healthy friendship. Cat is a little, she's afraid, she's unsure, she has this overblown sense of being responsible for everything that goes wrong. And then we have Simon on the other side, he's a little too sure of himself, almost to the point of being egotistical and controlling of everything. And he kind of tries to lead Cat around by the nose.
Yes.
And it's not healthy. And so my tips on what we should be looking for, and we're going to start out with what typically people look for. They tend to look for people that are almost mirror images of themselves. Mm-hmm. They look for people that are exactly like them, and
yeah.
That's not always bad, but it closes your expanded perspective on the world. It's like if everybody has the same opinion, has the same culture, has the same values, has the same ideas, has the same upbringing, you're not really expanding your village, for lack of a better term. So mm-hmm. I would say that, you know, you want people that complement you, you know, with skills and abilities and talents, not necessarily exactly like yours, but things that do complement you. And you want to look for people that have empathy, you know, that have consideration. You want them to be from, like, different cultures or different backgrounds so that you know, the things that you find interesting, the best way to learn things are from books, but also from someone that has that background or has that knowledge, because there are so many things that you don't think about in the application of mm-hmm. those cultures, those ideas, those skills that you can readily learn from a friend. So, you know, I say, you know, expand your friendship to include everyone. Mm-hmm. I myself have never met a stranger, and I love that. I don't want to meet new friends.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I'm actually writing that down. I love, love, love that. We're going to have to sneak away to commercial in 30 seconds, but I just have to repeat, just for somebody to say, I have never met a stranger, meaning that you've always felt a connection on some level to somebody. You've opened your heart somewhere along the line to either help them grow and help yourself grow at the same time. So we are, as we go to commercial, when we come back, this friendship is huge, everybody. Let's come back and find out how to grow the most amazing friendships.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Enjoy passive income benefits while creating a cottage experience for others. From a relaxing getaway to connecting with nature, sitting around flickering campfire light, dipping in cool, refreshing waters, strengthening your body with biking, hiking, boating, and swimming. And you have the cottage that could be a part of all of those memories while earning you money. Financial abundance as a thank you for renting your cottage. Become a cottage rental owner today, safely and supported. RentCottage.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Well, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and I have incredible, fun, adventurous author Donna Sager Cowan with us. And she is, well, I just read the most amazing book called With the Courage of a Mouse, and it's from the Superhero School series. And I am so excited to read. I don't even know how many more books there are, but I'm ready for them. And we're talking to Donna today about
friendships, and that really how that is the support system. It's the foundation of our experiences in life and how we grow. So let's get back into friendships, Donna. Actually, I want to ask you something. How many close friends, best friends, like closest friends would you say you have? Do you have a lot or just a few?
Well, I would say I probably have just a few best friends, but I have a large group of close friends and, of course, an even larger group of friends and what you would consider acquaintances, because I do try to keep everybody close. And, you know, it is one of my things to inspire people and to encourage them. So, you know, I do try to reach out to all of them on a regular basis. I'm not always successful, but I do try, you know. And, you know, I wanted to come back to our book here with the Courage of the Mouth and give you a pretty good example in the book that when we first meet them of a healthy relationship with between Patty the pig and Freddie the tree frog. You know, Patty is a pig. You know, she's a rather large girl, and she's bullied a little bit and teased a lot. But she's really gifted and intelligent. But she hides because she doesn't want people to know that, because she thinks it just gives them more ammunition to tease her with. And then she meets Freddie, this tree frog, who he's so tiny that he goes pretty much unnoticed. But he finds something in Patty worth pursuing, and he wants to help her. And in the end, she actually ends up helping him, because she points out to him that even though he's small and he's unnoticed, that in fact, as a superhero, is a great skill, because he can go into places and gather information and nobody ever knows he's there.
Yes, I know. He was a superhero for sure in that.
That was exciting. That was so exciting.
And when you point things out like that, when they're such opposites, and we can not see them as differences and things that, you know, make us far apart from each other, that actually help us, like you said, in a complimenting way. They're very complimenting things, large to small, and smart to, you know, or strong kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, you know, in this picture, friendship, you know, Patty is a little, you know, disorganized, and she's almost like a hermit in that she is hiding a lot. And so Freddie comes in, and he's very, very much a caregiver kind of animal. So he comes in, and he makes sure that she eats well, that she exercises, that she uses her glasses, and that she gets outside and meets people, and she provides he provides her with kind of that security that she's kind of doing it for him, but in the end, she's doing it also for herself. And I love that about Freddie, that, you know, he really sees her potential, and he wants the world to see that. And so, you know, he's kind of taken on this life of, you know, getting Patty out into the world, which I think is a beautiful friendship between the two of them.
Yeah. Yeah, because that brings it to when we look at the friends that we have or the friends we are being, are we sometimes, you know, we find ourselves in friendships that we actually try to keep them small still because we don't want them to go out. Like, we want them to stay small like us, but that's not a healthy friendship. We want to have those friendships that we really support and encourage them. I love that you use that word. Encourage our friends and have them encourage us to not just stay in the negative comfort zone, but to step into the positive light, the experiencing and letting and sharing our brilliances with the world.
Right, which is, you know, which is why listening in friendship is so key. It's, you know, it's kind of one of the most important things, not only in just friendships, but in life. You know, we need to actively listen. So many times I see here, and sometimes I do it myself, I'm not above, you know, making mistakes and class steps and stuff like that, where, you know, someone is speaking and they say something and it's like your mind just goes off on a tangent, and it's like, so at that point you're not actively listening, you're waiting for your moment to respond and forming your response. not actively listening. And it comes across as a little bit of a self-promoting thing when, you know, you're saying, oh, well, I went through that. Well, yes, I mean, that's great that you do have that empathy. But a lot of times you have to look at it from their perspective and you have to say, okay, what is it that they need from me? They don't necessarily need to say, oh, I've already done it, you know, mine's bigger, badder, worse, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They need you to say, I've been through that, I understand, and then think, what was it that you needed to hear in that given moment?
Yes. You know, that's funny. Well, I think often, this is a very broad thing. I used to have this friend who I would come and say to her, like, oh my gosh, I would say, because I'm always hungry. And I think, oh my gosh, I'm so hungry. And she goes, well, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten since da da da. I was like, well, you can be hungry too, which is that I'm expressing that I'm hungry. Like, it was kind of like a competition of who hadn't eaten in the longest or the least amount that day. And I thought, well, we can both be hungry.
And exactly. You know, I mean, and not to discount her response, but I think
right.
A better response would have been, you know what, I'm hungry too. I haven't eaten in a while. Let's go get something to eat.
Yes, and not really like be a big competition, which is often what we'll do even if somebody might be really struggling, and this is a very real situation. Somebody might be struggling financially, and they really are feeling broke, financially broke. He said, oh my gosh, I just can't pay my bills and I don't have this. And then somebody else, if they're not being a friend, they might say, yeah, well, you know, I can't buy this either, or do this, or you try having the bills that I do, or something like to one up in that. And so in a situation like that, let me ask you something. I love that you said that a better response would be, right now, I think a lot of people are in pain. They're struggling, whether it's from financial bills or it's a hard job situation. How can we be a really good friend to those people who, when we are going through that ourselves and we want to relate, what are the traits that we could pull upon, you know, and use from ourselves to really offer that friendship to others who are struggling in that same situation, but not belittle it?
Right. Well, you know, here's what I would say. Instead of using the comparison game, okay, that's your life, this is mine, maybe take it just a little deeper and see, you know, what would I love someone to say to me I'm in that situation? What would I want to hear? You know, if someone's struggling, you know, I think sometimes it's better to say, you know what, I've been there, and this is kind of what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's helpful to you, but these are the things that I tried. These are the things that I did. Here's some saving tips or some, you know, simple things that you can do for yourself. Because I think what they're saying more than, I don't have money, I don't have this, I'm not enough, it's more that they're missing that connection of self-care.
Yeah.
They're missing their connection to themselves, and they need someone to hear them, but mostly they need to hear themselves.
Yes. Oh, you know what? One of the things that really, I just felt, honestly, when I was reading about Kat, and she was in superhero school the first day, and she was running through her mind, like she was panicking because there was this issue that came up for her and she did not know what to do. And she hadn't yet, you know, become super great friends yet with Cheddar, with Mr. Slime and Cheddar. And she wanted to go to the teacher, but she couldn't because it was just a voice. There was no feedback. There's no teacher like what you said, to say, I would love to hear something back. I just need a connection. I just need a response. And that actually broke my heart. I almost started crying. I was like, oh, no, God.
Well,
that loneliness.
Yes, and it's not just the loneliness. It's the separation.
Yeah.
It's, you know, people being alone is one thing, but being separated by, you know, emotionally, physically, you know, that is even harder thing to take when you feel like you don't have someone to reach out to. You know, when you're feeling really sad, or when you're feeling even really great, you know, it's like you want to celebrate something. It's like you need to have that connection with somebody that you can call or talk to you, you know, no matter what. I've had a bad day. Okay, well, let's go do this to cheer you up. Or, you know what, I had a fantastic day. Oh, you know what, let's go celebrate. Or, you know, I'm having, you know, this struggle or whatever, and they're like, okay, well, let's talk through it. These are the things that you want in your friendship, and it's a main point. If you're not getting something from a friendship, and I do mean value, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, money or investment or something,
right,
or time or whatever. But if you're getting something of value for that friendship, hang on to it. If you're not, it's toxic, and you need to kind of let it wither away. Because, you know, if somebody continues to need you to pour into them and they give nothing back, you cannot pour from an empty cup. And at some point, you need to be filled up as well. So, you know, don't let those people pull you down.
Yes. Let's sit there for a minute, because I know a lot of people go through this. I know a lot of people come to me and say, you know what, I've had this friendship, but it's been for so long. Like, we've just been friends for, like, it's kind of like the time they're basing, like, well, we've been friends since high school, we've been friends since this. And so even though they know it's a toxic friendship, or they're not getting something from it, but they just feel like they've put their time in, you know, or that they can't abandon them because of this thing. Can one restructure and fix a friendship, or is it really sometimes friendships are just done, or both?
Well, you know, there are a lot of ways to look at this. You know, I've actually run into those kinds of friendships in my life too. And so what I would say is to look at the positives and the negatives of that friendship. And, you know, because we do grow individually, you know, my life is not exactly like anybody else's life, because my experiences and my education and everything has been different. And so there are a lot of things that I can bring to a relationship, but if that person doesn't need those things or doesn't want to hear those things, then, you know, sometimes just taking a break from that relationship helps. Mm-hmm. Also, setting boundaries for your relationships. If this person continues to, you know, cry on your shoulder and say, oh, I have this problem, please solve it for me, you know, you need to say to them, I cannot solve your problems. I can offer advice and suggestions, but ultimately you're the only person that can change your life. And you know, not take on so much responsibility for what's happening in those people's lives. You can be supportive, you can offer advice, you can offer suggestions, you can be there when they need you. But, you know, I think a lot of the toxic comes from taking on the responsibility and drama from those people's lives. And I think that's where you need to kind of set your boundary and say, you know, I can't have that because it pulls me down, it makes me unhappy, it makes me sad, and it starts affecting the rest of my life. So I think a lot of times breaks, boundaries, you know, parameters are all the things that you can look at now, and you will see some friendships that you have completely outgrown.
You know,
not everybody that begins. But not everybody that begins the journey with you will stay with you to the end. And that's okay too. And sometimes you have friends that, you know, that'll come in and then they go out of your life and then they'll come back for a little while and they'll go back out. And that's fine too.
I just love that you use the word outgrown, because, oh my goodness, that's a beautiful way of saying that, as opposed to the friendships ended or broke up or it was toxic. Sometimes it's simply outgrown it. And you made me think of this now. I know you're in California, but you actually just made me think of little kids going tobogganing and they have their snow pants. And then the next season comes along and they're going to go play because, you know, they're playing, but their snow pants no longer fit. So they've outgrown them. And it doesn't mean that those snow pants weren't awesome and had great times. It's just that you're different. You just outgrew them. You made me think of that.
Right. And you're ready to move on and pass them on to the next person.
Yes. And somebody else is going to, it really frees up that energy from that friendship so that the person that you've grown or vice versa can
be a nice fit for someone else and really give that energy. Because it's painful when you are in a, whether it's toxic or just no longer there, it's painful to stick around. And you kind of started, you gave a little bit of a checklist there, and I liked it. If we could just highlight that, how would one be feeling, maybe, if it's not right? Like if somebody were to listen to you right now and said, oh, I'm not sure if this is a good one anymore, what could be the feelings they're going through if it's not good for them?
Well, most of the time you feel this, oh my goodness, this person's calling me again, or,
annoying.
Feel very heavy when you're talking with them. It may be annoyance, but it feels like a chore.
Ah.
You know, the friendship doesn't feel light and airy. It doesn't feel like, you know, like when you were friends in grade school and, you know, you'd go out to the playground and it's like you skip around and you play ball with this person. You go over there and you talk to that person and then you go with this person and do something with them. It's like it's all very light and airy and almost superficial, but it feels very freeing. If your friendships feel like they are a weight that is dragging you down or that you're having to drag behind you, then it's time to look at it and see if you need to reevaluate that friendship, you know, because sometimes, again, when you've outgrown somebody, it's like it's not necessarily that you're bad or toxic for each other. It's just that, you know, you've kind of talked about everything you can talk about together.
Right.
And so maybe you both need to go find, you know, a new person in your circle. They go on to impart both of your wisdom to their new friends, and then you can go impart your new combined wisdom to new friends. And it is the epitome of building a village.
I love that. And on that note, we're going to have to slip away to commercial, but I love that list. And those were terrific emotional feelings for somebody to really identify whether they're feeling with somebody else or that they think they're causing someone else. When we come back, we're going to have more of these wonderful checklists for you to build a beautiful friendship in a village.
Thank you.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
So I'm a cat. And I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg roll showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
I'm just so happy that everybody's here joining us. You're listening to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. Got this wonderful, incredible author, Donna Cowan. And I have to say, the series that she's written which is the superhero school series. And I just finished reading With the Courage of a Mouse. And what I love about your story, Donna, is that these are the way of learning and feeling in this really like encompassing life kind of lessons, but in this fun way, an adventure. And like you have friends when you're reading and there's just so much emotion that you don't even know you're learning. You know you're learning, but you don't feel like you're in school, which is fantastic. you go ahead. Yeah, from there.
Well, this is part of my plan. It did take me 2 years to write it, and the second book will definitely not take me 2 years to write it. But I wanted this to be a rollicking adventure. I wanted it to grab the attention of the reader and take them on this big adventure where it was about being these characters. It was about their lives and the adventure that they were on. And I wanted it to be a nonstop ride where they cared so much about what was happening to them that they didn't want to put the book down, that they needed to continue reading. Because, in reading a book and competing with video games and television is a little tough sell. So it's like if you can get, a child to open a book and start reading and get themselves off on this adventure, I wanted them to not want to put the book down. So that was purposeful, but I love hearing that. But
yes.
And I think often lessons in life are easiest when they are just lived and they do come out naturally in the course of things.
Yeah, I do want to say to everybody listening, though it is a book for children, let's say, I can tell you that any adult would love this. You actually touch on some things that, I'm a little bit sensitive. I'm like a little la-la girl here, but sometimes you were saying, I was like, oh, no, I don't want to read that. That sounds awful. Like, it's adult problems, like, with just, like, the sneakiness and the, it's an adventure, so it's going to have the good and bad. And I'm often, my nieces make fun of me. I'll watch the Smurfs, and I'm like, no, it's too scary. I cannot watch Gargamel do that. it's like, but there was one line that I had to write, share right now with everybody. I love this line. I hope that you'll remember it. You were mentioning about Kat was going through her mind and, about all these things and what she was thinking that Simon would be thinking. And one of the lines was, a stray cat refuge probably wasn't on his list of after-school hangouts. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah, well, it's not. He's a mouse. It's like, I can't imagine that he says early on, it's like, he was not having a great day because he was on the breakfast menu twice.
Right.
So, yes.
It's just written so, like, you talk about everything from, people with, I don't want to give that line away. Hold on. I don't want to give the story away, but, like, there's some serious stuff that goes on in here. And I thought, oh, my gosh, like, this is, and you got to almost get over the fact, you're right, because this cat and mouse, you're thinking, oh, my gosh, but, if Cat's really hungry, like, she's going to have to eat. I mean, and then you don't want to blame her for being a cat, but then there's, oh, my gosh, like, it's just, it makes us look through life to say, okay, wait a second, in my friendships, are there certain things that, can they really work or maybe they shouldn't work because it's not natural and it's hard. There are hard life decisions with friendships. And just jumping back in there, I want to ask you on the next book, because I believe, the PDF book that I got to read, it was going into, I believe, the next book. Is that what people are going to get when they read the first book? They're going to get a chapter of the next book like that?
Yes. Okay. The book does include chapter one from book two, so that you can see the ongoing adventure. It's a little bit, a little teaser to the second book, which will be with the curiosity of a cat. And I can give you a little sneak for that one, in that Kat and Simon are going skydiving because superheroes need to know how to fly.
Right.
So, you know, it brings up a whole new set of issues for the pair, because, you know, Simon's, of course, you know, he's very brave and ready to take on the world all the time. And so he's thrilled for the experience. And Kat's not so much. She's like, Kat want to stay all four paws on the ground. Thank you very much. It should be another great adventure. I am writing that right now. We are hoping to have that out by next year. So it's exciting.
I gotta wait a whole year. Oh, okay.
No, it's during 2019. I'll probably have it to you before then. Yeah. But you know, I wanted to get back to our little village talk and talk about, you know, some of the problems that we find, you know, the disagreements and the misunderstandings that we have in friendships are often just a clash from the, you know, the different points of view, but also sometimes they're projections of your own insecurities, or learned behaviors. It is about that, you know, if someone is constantly telling you that you're not enough or not this or that, when somebody says something to you, not realizing that is your history with maybe, let's say, a sister or a friend or whatever, and they, you know, they say something just innocently and you take it very much to heart, that is kind of a projection of your own security. So you have to be a little careful with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the best friendships are formed when both people are allowed to be completely themselves without any kind of pretense.
Right. There's one paragraph that I was so, again, what you're saying right there about we have our own experiences, which we've created with our own things. And I want to, I wrote this down because it was is when Kat was sitting somewhere and she realized, this is what you had written, she had no idea what anyone wanted or needed. She didn't know what could she do. She always waited to be told what to do, and she was sick of it. And she must be good at something. She just had to figure it out and what it was, and then she would know how to help. And when I was just sitting there thinking of those feelings, and you're right, it's like when we're sitting in a friendship and we don't know our value and we have all of our beliefs about who we are and what we can't do usually versus what we can do, or maybe what we can overdo and the other person doesn't want us to do it. You're right. We really need to be our friend, our own friend first, maybe, to get to know ourselves.
Yes.
Is that good? Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Yay. Okay. I got that.
Yes.
Because once we do that, then like when poor Kat was sitting there going, well, I've always waited to be told what to do.
That's a big thing. So if we are inactive in our friendships, then we're not really bringing a lot of value, then are we?
Yeah, well, and that is part of the entire compassing of the book. You know, we have Kat that, you know, she does feel insecure and afraid, but she's not really participating in her own life. She's just allowing things to happen to her, you know, and it's just like, oh, woe is me. This keeps happening to me. This happens to me. This happens to me. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? She doesn't actively participate. And then we have Simon on the other side where he kind of over plans to try and control his world and his environment, but he's not really actively participating either. He's trying to react to everything that happens to him. And I think at the end of this first book, we see them starting to realize that they need to be together because they bring something positive out in each other. As well as their other superhero friends, but that mostly they need to take charge of their own lives. They need to accept what they are good and what they are not good at, and learn from others, but learn also from themselves, and mostly live and participate and be active and present.
That is, I'm highlighting that as the most important takeaway from the show. That is so massive because everybody, I know you haven't read it yet, but you will. You have to read this with the courage of a mouse. I never thought about it that way, Dawn, actually. That is so interesting because I would have, even, and I've read the book, is just because we are reacting in life does not mean that we are participating, being present, and in control.
Oh, my God, I'm having the biggest aha moment right now.
That is so cool. I love that.
Well, you know, it's been a big aha moment for me, too, because you know, we get so caught up in the pace of life and, you know, things coming from us from 47,000 different directions at once. And it's like, oh, you know, the phones ring, the pot's boiling over, the kids want something, you know,
yes.
The husband wants dinner on the table, you know, your boss wants it. And you are just reacting to all of those things. And it's just like, okay, you know, what can I do to get everybody to leave me alone? And
right.
You know, and sometimes then we have the flip side of that where somebody's like, okay, well, my boss is going to call me, so I need to have this ready. And then, you know, the kids are going to want that, so I need to have that. And I'm not saying that planning is bad, but for the most part, we need to be there and really listen to what it is that the husband really wants. Does he really want dinner on the table at a certain time, or does he just want to spend time with you and unwind? You know, do your children really just, do they want a snack or something, or do they just want your attention for that 10 minutes before they go on to homework? You know, does your boss really need that, or do they just need you to reassure them that they have everything they need for that meeting? You know, and these are participating things. You need, again, we go back to the listening and being active and participating. I think those things are very key. And you know, it's like anything else in life, it's like you're going to have to kind of step back and see what you are and aren't doing and kind of create that habit.
Yes. You've actually just helped me. And I probably knew this, but I think it's really being highlighted to me right now that I'm going to say I'm like Simon Cheddar, and which is, I want to be the cat, you know, so badly because I love them so much. But I'm like, no, because I just am realizing that, so I'm a life coach, and what I've also, a lot of people say, oh, so what do you do for fun? And I think, well, I work. I love my work. It's fun. And then I realized that my friendship, I'm, you know, you said, I think I'm just reacting. I'm choosing my friends by, would they be a great client? Because I want to help them. And that's really what it is. I'm reacting like, oh, you need help? Oh, you're perfect. You're a perfect friend. You need help. I can help you.
Oh.
Right? I'm Simon, right? And you're helping me really realize that in the last couple of years, I've actually decided, I don't know why or how, but, you know, you come to things. So I thought I would just really like some friends where I'm not helping them. Actually, in fact, maybe they'll help me or maybe they'll need help, but I'm not going to help them. I'm just going to support them in a very quiet, inactive way and just, you know, be who I am. And it has been very interesting. My circle of friends have certainly changed in the past 2 years. And I just, you're just helping me to realize that and notice that. And I wonder who else is listening right now. If you're, you know, anybody listening right now, you're not kind of sure if you are the reactive type or the woe is me and if everybody's coming to swoop in and save you, you've got to read this book. And I'm going to really push this. Pick up the copy of With the Courage of a Mouse by Donna Cowan. It's C-O-W-A-N. I want to make sure it's A-N.
Yep.
And
yes.
Because it's a fun book, but you may really, as opposed to connecting with like a person, maybe you just need to hear it from an animal's perspective, like get the animal's characteristic to really recognize who you are and what you're doing, so it's not so close to home, you know? And that's why I love your stories, Donna, is that it doesn't hit close to home, but it does, it hits close to heart. And I
right, and that's the reason that I chose the animal characters, because there is that sense of separation that it's not me, it's not real, but it resonates. The feelings, the emotions, the actions, they resonate with each of us. And, you know, your words have meaning. Your actions have meaning. Someone is always, always, always paying attention to what you say and do. So we can't always be the perfect example, but we can be the best example for that moment.
No, I love that. And with that being said, you don't have to be the perfect example. You're just going to be the right one that somebody needs. And in that case, how can they, because we're going to have to wrap up, but how can they, I need them to get your book, but I want them to reach out to you more than anything. What is the best way to get to know who you are and then read these wonderful books?
Well, the books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, but you can reach all of that information through my website, which is DonnaSagerCowan.com. I have all my events that are coming up and all the links to purchase my book. I usually throw in a few sneak peeks from, you know, each book as I'm writing them, so you can check in there. It has all of my social media links there. So if you want to connect with me on social media, they're all there ready for you.
Perfect. Perfect. And you know what? Oh, you can pop onto my Lisa Berry, B-E-R-Y, Facebook, because you know we're friends on Facebook, Donna, you and I.
Yes, we are.
With like everybody, honestly, it's the most fun adventure, great read. It's so enjoyable, and it's for of all ages, male or female, it doesn't matter. And I want to say thank you so much, Donna, for sharing this time with me, and I consider you a good friend.
Oh, thank you so much. I am so happy to be talking with you and your audience today. I'm so excited to get this book out there, and I want everybody to read it.
Okay, well, thank you, everyone. We'll see you next week, and thank you, Donna. Bye, everyone. Bye.